Revelation chapter 1, and I'll read aloud from verse 12 to the end of chapter 1. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance or face was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. We have two parties here. There is our Lord Jesus Christ in a glorious vision. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ shown in glory. And there is the seven churches. Two parties here. Now, of the two, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the greater. He is the one more worthy of our attention. He is the one to be praised, to be worshipped. This glorious vision of him, these symbolic elements to how he is envisioned, the sword coming out of his mouth and all of these things. It's wondrous, and I just can't wait to talk about all these things about our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's the one whose disciples we are. He's the one we love. However, when John turned and he saw these two parties, the Lord Jesus and the churches, it mentions him seeing the churches first. And then it starts talking about the Lord Jesus and his relationship with the churches. So I'm going to point your attention to some of the things that are said about the churches first. I want you to notice how the churches are mentioned several times, and they're given a symbolic way to think of them. In the beginning of this, it says the churches in plain language, talks about the churches. Then at the end, again, it says these are the churches. Then in between, we get this vision of the churches as something. Okay, so see in verse 11, Revelation 1:11, it says, what thou seest, write in a book, and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then names seven of those cities. Okay? and we'll talk more about that in the future. It says seven cities in Asia, seven churches in Asia. It doesn't mean all of what we learn as the continent of Asia. You know, when we're in school, we learn about Asia, and it starts there at Turkey and Russia, and goes all the way across and includes India and all of the huge country of Russia and China and all of that. You know, that's not what is meant here by Asia. Asia, in this reference, is what we would consider a small part of Turkey, in the western end of Turkey, where it ends and meets the sea. And so it's just a very small fraction of the whole continent of Asia. The seven churches are scattered over that area, what we would call Western Turkey. It's the area that Paul and Barnabas went up through preaching. It's the area that Paul and Silas went through on the second missionary journey. There's lots of talk about events in Ephesus and other places in this area. So it's literally seven churches, the churches in each of seven cities. But then the churches are given a figure to represent them. He's talking about the seven churches, and when John turns, he sees, verse 12, seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. And then verse 13, it says again, in the midst of these seven candlesticks or lampstands. Okay? So you could figure out when he says, send this to the seven churches, and then John turns around behind him and sees seven golden candlesticks or lampstands, you could figure out, without being told, those seven golden candlesticks or lampstands are representing what he's talking about, the seven churches. But, we may well also have missed that. And so it's told to us verbatim, the Lord Jesus says, which is for us verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, which we'll talk about another time. And the seven candlesticks or lampstands, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Okay. So you can get that in your imagination, can't you? John turns. John hears that this is going to be for the seven churches in Asia. And then he turns and looks and he sees seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. Now we've got two words that we need to use a lot for talking about this. And let's get them better understood in our minds, okay? We have here, depending on what Bible you're looking at, either candlesticks or lampstands. Candlesticks or lampstands. Now, I had to learn about this. I've wondered for years why the older Bibles say candlestick and the newer Bibles say lampstands. And I did learn some things about that, which I hope will clear up any problems you have about that. I learned that the phrase lampstand, hyphenated, and then eventually becoming one word, lampstand, I learned that the word lampstand is new. It is only known to have been used from about the middle of the 1800s. Not at all an ancient word. Doesn't even go back to the beginning of modern English. Lampstand was a word, was a phrase or word, not even in use when the old Bibles were translated in the 1500s and 1600s. So that's why those Bibles don't say lampstand. That was not a phrase, not a word. And really, It wasn't even the term used when the translation was updated in 1901. You know, there was a major new translation that came out in 1885 in England, 1901 slightly altered in America, the American Standard Version, and they didn't use lampstand then. So having the word lampstand in common use to use in this setting is really a pretty new thing in English. Okay? All right, then. I had to learn that, so that's why it wasn't used in the old Bibles. It wasn't really a thing. But then also, I had to learn something about the word candle and the word candlestick. Okay? You know that when we say candle, we mean, you know, here's a thing that is firm, it's hard, it doesn't have to be in a container. It might be in a glass container, but it doesn't have to be in a container. It's made of, you know, wax or, you know, tallow or whatever it's made of now. And down through it, as it was made, you know, before it was made, a wick of some sort of cloth or string or something was put through it. And so we know what a candle is. Some of them are fat and in a jar. Some of them are, you know, teeny and narrow. You stick them on your birthday cake. Candle. You know, we know what a candle is. But what I didn't know until I studied for this lesson is that that is also pretty new. Way back in our language, all the way through modern English, through Middle English, and back into Old English, long, long ago, we've had the word candle. And it used to mean any of the things that you used, any of these things that you used to make light. Basically, it used to be candle used to mean any of candle or lamp or lantern. If a candle, you know, is the thing I've been describing, and if a lamp is something that burns oil somehow and it's open or semi-open, and then a lantern is something that burns oil like a lamp, but it's enclosed. Of course, it can't be 100% enclosed, you know, for the most part enclosed, like for use outdoors. If those are three basic common kinds of portable lights, our word candle used to mean any of those. And so way back in Old English, candlesticka meant a stand to hold any of those things. Isn't it fun to think of somebody, you know, somewhere in Great Britain in, say, the year 800 or something, back in the Middle Ages or Dark Ages, and he's saying candle, however they pronounced it, and he's referring to a lantern or a lamp or a candle, and then somebody talks about putting it on the candlesticka. So here we have the word candlestick still today, and people who speak English have been using that word for a long time. Candlestick. And candle used to mean any of those kind of portable lights, and a candlestick was a stand for any of those kind of portable lights. But then the word candle, as you know, kind of shrank in range of meaning. No English speaker today, I don't think, you know, nothing in my experience would have an English speaker referring to a lamp as a candle. You know, something with oil in it and a wick burning the oil. We would never refer to that as a candle if it had, you know, liquid fuel. A solid fuel stick thing is a candle. A lamp is not. A lantern, we would not refer to as a candle. And so that's why when you have the old Bibles from the 1500s and 1600s, and even all the way up to 1901, they would say candlestick, but then it would be a holder for a candle or a lamp or a lantern. Doesn't matter what kind of portable light was on it, it was still a candlestick. And so people didn't apparently, the term lamp stand did not apparently take over till the 20th century, till within the last 100 years. Okay? So it's not that when the old Bibles were translated, you know, when Wycliffe and Tyndale and the Geneva Bible people and the King James people, when they were making their translations, it's not that they were dumb and said candlestick when it really wasn't a candle or whatever. You know, no, that's how linguistically that came about. So candlestick, candle. Would you look with me for a minute at Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read a wonderful parable that the Lord Jesus said. Parables, you know, the Lord Jesus used, in one sense, it keeps the meaning from those to whom it's not given, but at the same time, it makes the meaning very clear and memorable to those to whom the understanding is given. So here's a parable about the way that, sure, anybody can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Jesus, I believe in Jesus. Sure, anybody can say that. But then, as they say, time will tell. Will this person still be professing himself a Christian all the way till the Lord Jesus comes back, or all the way until he dies? Because you see, the nature of true Christianity is that you come to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you believe in him, you get baptized, you turn from your sins, and then you stay like that. Sure, you might have some ups and downs and failings here and there, but you maintain that profession of faith all the way to the end. That's true religion. False religion is when you say so, and then somewhere along the line, you drop out, you quit. Well, here's a parable about that. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Not meaning they didn't have some oil in their lamp. You know, in the little bowl that holds the oil in their lamp, they had oil in there. They just didn't take an extra jug. Okay? And took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Here are people who had lamps. We're talking in Revelation chapter 1 about John seeing a vision of the churches as candlesticks or lampstands. So here's the Lord Jesus talking about lamps. And you can tell very clearly they are not candles in the sense of solid fuel, wax, or tallow candles. They are lamps, or possibly lanterns. They are lamps, the kind that have liquid fuel, oil, probably olive oil. You know, having oil for your lamps, You know what the oil used to be like in the time that Jesus was talking about? You know what oil it probably was? Olive oil. Olive oil. You know, which will burn. And so they used olive oil. It was a major improvement to people being able to have light when the practice of wailing came in. When it came to be that seamanship, the construction of sailing vessels, navigation by the stars, when all of that became sophisticated enough for people to sail all over the world hunting whales and could kill whales, render those huge carcasses full of blubber into oil, and then sell the oil, and people could use whale oil in their lamps. That was a huge improvement to how well people could light their homes and barns and things, because olive oil or some other plant or land animal based oil for lamp oil, you know, there's only so much you can produce. Plus, you're taking away from your food supply when you do that. But once the enormous quantities of whale oil could come in, then for however long that was what they had, it was a big improvement. Then, of course, another major improvement when petroleum started to be drilled out of the oil in out of the earth in giant quantities, and it can be distilled and just the right things, just the right petroleum distillates like kerosene can be then used for lamp oil. Then that was another major improvement. And then, well, anyway, I won't go on and on and on about lamp fuels. But here's liquid-fueled lamps. And the oil is rather expensive and precious. They use it for that. That's all they could really have. They use it for that. But it's, you know, it has to be bought. And you don't buy any if you don't need it because it's kind of expensive. And the word that we have in our Bibles here is lamps. These young ladies had lamps. You can tell they were something that they could carry. It wasn't too big to carry around. As a matter of fact, it wasn't too big that you couldn't carry a lamp and a pitcher of oil. So it wasn't all that big. Not sure exactly how big. It was fueled by olive oil. It wasn't a candle, as we think of a candle. Now, the Greek word right there, which we are translating as lamps, the 10 virgins took their lamps. It is, brace yourselves, the Greek word lampes. Isn't that fun? Our word lamp is simply the Greek word for lamp brought over into English, slightly molested, but not even very much. Okay? Lamps, lampas. Now, there's no mention of these being put on a candlestick or lampstand. These were carried with them. I'm sure you could set them down, but there's no mention of them being put on a lampstand. Lampas. Matthew chapter 5, if you please. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll read aloud starting at verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, meaning a bushel basket, put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, that's, of course, a beautiful, wonderful doctrine from our Lord Jesus. You know, it doesn't make a bit of sense for a disciple of Jesus Christ not to do the good works that he has commanded. You know, not really to love people, not really to do anything good in obedience to God's commandments, not really to worship him very much, not really to show kindness to others very much, not really to obey your parents or be good to your children, you know, not really to do much that's good. Doesn't make a bit of sense. It's just the stupidest, most illogical thing. It would be like somebody, we have these nice electric lights that Mr. Weems hung from the ceiling, but, you know, most of the world through most of history has not had wonderful electric lights hanging from the ceiling. You know, people like us coming to church tonight when it's dark, you know, somebody would light a lamp or a candle, right? And just think how dumb it would be if somebody took that candle. Let's see, who might be in charge of it? Let's say Truman was in charge of it. Truman has the candle or the lamp, and he goes around and gets back there under something and puts it on the floor and takes a basket and covers it. That would just be the dumbest thing to do with a light, right? Because then it wouldn't shine and it wouldn't be of any use to anybody. Okay, so the Lord Jesus knows that we can get that easily enough. And so he says that, you know, that's what it would be like to be a disciple of his and not to obey God's commandments. What is it really that Truman would do? If we had, you know, candles or lamps, what Truman would actually do is he would come in here with it and we would have some place for it to be put. Maybe there would be something, a little shelf, like right here, and Truman would put it on its shelf. Or maybe there would be something hanging from the ceiling, and he would put it in its place there. Or maybe there'd be several right up here already, and then you use the one he had to light the several. Or maybe there would be a stand that stood on the table or that stood on the floor, and he would put it there so that by putting it up, it would shine and everybody could see. Well, everybody knows that. And so that's what makes sense with a candle or a lamp, and that's what makes sense with obeying the Lord. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, well, then you obey him. You do the things that God commands regarding worshiping God and regarding being good to other people. You do those things, and then you become like a light shining, professing that what the Bible says is true. If the Bible says something and you're obeying it all, then clearly you must believe that it's true. And people who are seeing you do all these good things, well, then they are inclined to believe what you believe. Well, why do you act like this? You act so good. Why do you act that way? Well, because. Then you can tell them, you know, Jesus has died for me on the cross, and turning from my sins and trusting in him, I'm forgiven all the wrong I've done, and I'm justified in God's sight, and I have hope of everlasting life. And now I'm living in hope of him coming back, and I want to be as obedient as I can until he comes. Well, you see, that's the way it's been going ever since the Lord Jesus said that. So in the course of that wonderful doctrine from the Lord Jesus, we get this description of a lamp and a candlestick, right? You see there in Matthew chapter 5, neither do men light a, and maybe your Bible says candle right there, or maybe your Bible says lamp, okay? However, it is not the Greek word lampas. It is a different word. It's the word leuknos. Different word from the word lampas that we had with the 10 virgins who had their lamps. The thing that you put it on, that you put a leuknos on, is a leuknia. Okay? You have a leuknos, and you put it on a leuknia. You have a lamp, and you put it on a lampstand. Or you have a candle, and you put it on a candlestick. Okay? That's how that works. But different Greek words. And I looked through the New Testament about this, which, you know, back in the old days, you really had to be a serious scholar to know what the Bible said about everything the Bible said about some word. Now, it's the work of 30 seconds. You just type it in the computer, and it tells you every time that word is used anywhere in the New Testament. And I found out that any talk of a light that is put on a stand is the Greek word leuknos being put on a leuknia. There is no use in the New Testament of the word lampes for a light that you're going to put on a stand. Okay? So two different Greek words, both of them mean some sort of portable light. Because lampes, the virgins can carry them with them. Leuknia, somebody can take it and put it somewhere. So, some sort of light that can be picked up and moved. But lampes is never mentioned as being put on a lampes stand. It's talked about as being carried, held by the virgins, not talked about as being put on a stand. The other word for such a light, leuknos, is talked about as being put on a stand, a leuknos stand, a leuknia. Okay? So then, back when our word candle was more flexible, and our word candle could refer to any of those kind of lights that you might have, well then, to help us English speakers, we don't know that there's two different Greek words at work here. To help us English speakers, the translators used lamp to translate, guess what Greek word? Lampes. But then to translate the word leuknia, so that we'll know there's a distinction, they used the word candle. Okay? Now, a leuknia, there's going to be talk about putting oil in it and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily a candle like we think of candle, but in the old use of the word candle, which was more broad, you can call it a candle. So, over the centuries, our word candle lost some of its meanings. It got down to where there's only one thing that's a candle. Sure, it can be fat or skinny, bigger, you know, but still, a liquid-fueled lamp we do not call a candle. So in the translations of the Bible, made from the 1900s on to today, you can't call something a candle if it is a thing with liquid fuel in a bowl. And so the translators in the newer translations, they've got to say lamp. Whether it's the Greek word lampas, or whether it's the Greek word leuknia, they've got to say lamp. They can't say candle. Okay? Well then, if they can't say candle, they've got to say lamp, then when they talk about a leuknia that they're going to put this thing on, they can't very well call it a candlestick. From the 1900s on, it doesn't make sense to our English-speaking ears to hear that a lamp is being put on a candlestick. Those things don't fit. What do you put on a candlestick? A candle. What do you put a lamp on? Well, you set it on the table or you put it on a lamp stand. So that's how we ended up with the older Bibles can make this distinction for us. There's two Greek words in the New Testament for light. Lampas, and they call it a lamp. Leuknia, and they call it a candle. Leuknos, and they call it a candle. And a leuknos sits on a leuknia. So a candle sits on a candlestick. But then, cross past 1900, and now you can't really use candle to mean those things. So even though it's two different Greek words, you've just got to say lamp. And the ones that are on a stand, they are lamps on a lamp stand. Okay? Now, of course, I find all that interesting because I love language everything. But I also think that helps us understand the Bible. We don't know Greek, but if we can at least learn what the Greek means behind our English words in these different places, then, you know, that will help us. So now you've got that much. I learned that much. It was greatly helpful to me. I told it to you. Now you've got that much. Lampus, lamp, not on a stand. Leuknos, light, on a stand, called a candle or candlestick. Okay? Now at that point, would anybody like to ask anything? If that confused you, would you like to ask me to clear that up for you? Or is there anything about what the Lord Jesus said about us as a, you know, as a light and a lamp, or about the virgins as having their lamps? Is there anything about that you brothers would like to comment on, or anybody would like to ask a question about? Would you please turn? Oh, I'm sorry. So to hook that into what we were just reading in Revelation, okay? We just read about John looking behind him and seeing seven candlesticks or lampstands, okay? And that's leuknia. A leuknos goes on a leuknia, candle on a candlestick. The things are liquid oil-burning lamps and the stand thereon. They are not solid fuel candles. They're not what we would call a candle on a candlestick. They are a liquid fuel lamp on some sort of stand. Okay? The fact that the Lord Jesus is walking among them means they must be some sort of floor stand. Okay? But don't picture in your mind a solid, cylindrical-shaped candle. You need to picture some sort of lamp, liquid fuel in a bowl, wick coming out somewhere, that kind of lamp. So whether your Bible says candlestick or whether your Bible says lampstand, that's what you're dealing with. Okay? Now, Exodus chapter 35, if you please. Exodus 35. God delivered the children of Israel out of slavery or bondage in what country? Egypt. Took them out into the desert or wilderness. Did I say Exodus 25? Well, would you make it 25? Exodus 25 and verse 31. And when God had given them the commandments, made the covenant with them, he then ordered the building of the glorious tent from which he would be worshipped. Now, what's the old-fashioned word we usually call that thing? The tabernacle. And tabernacle is just an old word for tent. But it sounds irreverent to say tent because it was such a special tent, so we usually say tabernacle. And the tabernacle would have a number of beautifully ornate golden pieces of furniture in it, all of them symbolic of Jesus Christ. Exodus 25, verse 31, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold." For some of you, does your Bible say lampstand? Yeah. "And thou shalt make a candlestick or lampstand of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick or lampstand be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of one side and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and flower. So all the six branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers," and etc. And then verse 37, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they may give light over against it. Okay? A candlestick or lampstand. Sevenfold. One straight up, three out of each side, making a total of seven, but all in one candlestick. This was, of course, originally written down in what language? Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for candlestick or lampstand here has survived into our modern day language in this country. Do you know what Jewish people call that thing? They call it the... Do you know? The menorah. The menorah. And that's not made up. That's the Hebrew word. Where we just read right there, candlestick or lampstand. Menorah is the Hebrew word for that. And it survived all these centuries. The menorah. Now, in the time of... Who was that Macedonian king who went conquering all over that part of the world and spreading Greek language and culture all over what we would call the Middle East? That person was Alexander the Great. In his time, he took the Greek language all over that part of the world, including Egypt. There came to be a large Jewish population in Egypt, especially at Alexandria. And it came to be over the centuries that people who didn't live right at Jerusalem were losing the ability to speak and read Hebrew. So a translation of the Bible out of Hebrew into the people's language that they did know was made at Alexandria. Translation of the Old Testament scriptures out of Hebrew into Greek was made. Supposedly was made by 70 scholars, and therefore is called the Septuagint or Septuagint. Okay? The Old Testament and all the talk about the menorah was translated into Greek. Okay? So you have the menorah and the lamps that will go on it. Well, what do you suppose Greek word is used for the menorah? It is, of course, Luknia. Okay? And the lamps that will go on the Luknia are not lampas, of course. They are instead Luknos. Okay? Greek translation is made. This is long before the Lord Jesus came. Long before Peter and John and Paul lived. Hundreds of years before that. The Old Testament scriptures talked about the menorah and the tabernacle as the luknia, its lamps, as a luknos. Okay? So, but these are not candles. They're not candles in our way of thinking of candles, because they're fueled by olive oil. They have little bowls. They're fueled by olive oil. They're not solid fuel, solid wax candles like we have. Okay? So now, when the Lord Jesus came and spoke in parables, spoke to the people in plain language and in figures, he talked about the kind of thing that you put on a stand to give light to the house, and he called it a luknos on a luknia. Okay? So it doesn't have to be the one holy menorah in the tabernacle. This is just the word for that thing. If you have some lights on a stand, they are a luknos on a luknia. They are not a lampas on a lampnia. A lampas is what the Lord Jesus said when the virgins are carrying this thing and they've got their jug with them, there's something different about a lampes and a leuknos, so that the word for something you put on a stand is a leuknos on a leuknia. Okay? So whether you're talking about the menorah in the tabernacle, in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament, or whether it's the Lord Jesus speaking as recorded by the gospel authors, a light that is on a stand is a leuknos on a leuknia. Now, it'll be called, in the 1500s and 1600s, it'll be called a candle on a candlestick. But they don't mean a solid fuel wax candle. They mean a lamp. And right here in what we just read, my old Bible, this old King James Version, calls it a candlestick, but says then they're going to put lamps on it. So there's not an incongruity in our old way of speaking in saying you're going to put a lamp on a candlestick. For us, that doesn't make any sense. But that's only in the last 100 years. People 100 years and back, they get that. You can take a lamp, put it on a candlestick, because a candlestick is a stand to hold anything. Okay? Now, when then we get to the vision John had, okay? Here's what is known by John and the seven churches. The people in the seven churches, they understand this. They get this very well. He is going to look over his shoulder, look behind him, and he's going to see seven golden leuknia. Okay? And of course, they're going to have each one a leuknos on it. You can see seven golden lampstands. If your Bible says candlesticks, doesn't mean they were what we would call candles. Okay? And these are going to be the seven churches. Well, now, you know, the Bible was read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus had helped the apostles to understand the Bible even much better than that. John knows about the menorah, the leuknia with the seven leuknos. And now he looks behind him, and there's not one in seven branches. There's seven. And he knows about Jesus saying, your good works, your profession of faith, your belief in me, you are like a light. You're like a leuknos that is put on a leuknia. You know, and so this use of this symbol in the Old Covenant Tabernacle and in the words of the Lord Jesus, you know, John is going to be getting this. This is going to, you know, the Holy Spirit is helping him. The Lord Jesus is speaking to him and showing him this vision. The churches as seven golden lampstands. Wow! And then there will be, you know, there's all this contemplation of in what sense are the churches like the menorah? In what way are the good works of, you know, the all of that is then for John to be instructed in, the Holy Spirit to help him understand, and for us to look into and discover. But then just, you know, as I said, we'll talk first about the churches and whatever, but before we conclude, just to sneak in the best part of it. Well, it's who's there among all the leuknia? It's the Lord Jesus. And, of course, we're going to see him seated on the throne, right? The last time John saw him, he was ascending through the clouds with the promise from the angels that he would come back that same way. Now the next time, I guess, that John gets to have a vision of Jesus, there's Jesus among the churches. And remember what the Lord Jesus had said, wherever two or three of you are gathered, there I am in the midst. And he said, go make disciples of all nations, and I am with you to the ends of the age or the end of the earth. And there it is. He's giving this vision of himself right among the lampstands, recommending the church, representing, symbolizing the churches. Would any of you brothers like to comment on that or ask something along those lines?
It seems like the fact that it's seven lamps, it seems like it's another way of kind of saying that the menorah is kind of done, and that the new thing is that.
That's right. The menorah is done. And as a matter of fact, if the late date theory of Revelation is correct, that John was seeing this vision in 95 or so, the menorah is literally gone. You know, it was taken away, you know, eventually destroyed, presumably. It's gone. Its place as ordained by God in his worship is definitely gone, because when Jesus Christ died, he tore the curtain in two, showing this whole thing is no more. So, right, the menorah is gone, but in another sense, it's not gone, right? It's still there. It's just now in an altered form. Would you brothers like to say anything else about this or ask anything? So, do think about this between now and when we get to do this again, hopefully next week. Do think about this, about all these things that are coming together. We'll talk, God willing, about the symbolism behind that they're gold and that they're lamps and that they're seven. And we'll talk about the symbolism of all this. But go ahead and start pondering this and thinking about it. And frankly, just enjoying it. That's what I've been doing, just enjoying this vision. Okay, let's pray over this and be done for now. Our Father in heaven,